to that Totally Rad Show. I am Tony with my co-host, Brad. What is going on?
Not much, man. I brought my old lady with me tonight.
You got the old lady with you tonight?
Yeah, she's old. She's older than I am.
She doesn't look too old to me.
She's not. She's not. She's actually like 12 years younger than me. Because I robbed the cradle. It's my new thing.
Oh, that's okay. Hey, did I ever tell you the story about when I was a traveling salesman?
Yeah. Oh, wait. Which one? Which one? The one about, wait. Let me do a recant from last couple weeks ago when you were talking about the traveling salesman that went into the Golden Corral that wasn't a Golden Corral, or not Golden Corral, but the one that had the mirrored windows.
Yeah.
That's not an eat-in restaurant.
No, it wasn't. It turned out to be a strip club, and I thought it was a Golden Corral. It looked like a Golden Corral, but
it feels like a Golden Corral.
It's not like an eat-in restaurant.
Yeah, but what was crazy? So I used to be a traveling salesman, and I'm up in the mountains of North Carolina. You know, up there that can be a little country. And everybody that's listening to this podcast right now hears my voice. Goes, this son of a bitch don't know what the fuck he's talking about. He's as country as cornbread. But anyway. You know, I'd go in this hosiery mill, and at the time I was like 23 years old. And what made me think of this story is what you just said. So I'm in there, and here's this big, you know, heavy set, barely looking guy, heavy set dude, and country as they come. And, you know, we're sitting there talking, and I see this smoking hot redhead come walking by wearing these tight jeans. I mean, she looked like $1 million. And I'm just following her and like not hearing anything he's saying, and he starts cracking up. And then she bends over to pick up a box of socks, and I'm like, dude, that girl's hot. He goes, yeah. He goes, that butt looks good bent over, don't it? And I said, yeah, man. He goes, it looks better when she's naked. I said, yeah, you would know. He goes, yeah, that's my wife. And I'm like, what?
Oh, shit.
And I thought he was fucking with me. And he's like, he starts calling her over. Because, like, she looked like she's about 28 years old. And he was, like, 50-something. And I'm like, don't call her over here. Don't call. She walks over. And he goes, tell him who you are. And she's like, why? He goes, he don't believe me. And she goes, yeah, I'm his wife. She goes, he robbed the cradle and I robbed the old folks home. That's and horrible. It was so freaking funny because they looked like they would not be together.
Wait a minute. I got to go backwards on this. You said she was picking up a box of socks?
Yeah, because I was in a hosiery mill. I was selling machine parts to a sock
mill. Hosiery.
Mill.
Yeah, hosiery. Hosiery. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Man, I got all confused on that one. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So she'd been there to pick up the socks, and I was checking her out, and he saw me and started cracking up. He didn't get mad, but I guess if I was 55 years old and had a smoking hot redhead 28 year old wife, and some other dude was checking her out, I'd probably be just like him too. But the
right, funny sad part was, and lonely and looking for something.
Yeah, yeah. But the funny part was that she told me, she goes, yeah, he robbed the cradle and I robbed the old folks home.
That's crazy. That's so gross, dude.
I know. And they were happy about it, but
it could be worse because it could be on the flip side where she was older and he was younger.
Yeah.
Because his comment would have been, yeah, I just have to peel back the scabs and let the pus run out. It feels the same like a 20-year-old.
Right. Right. No. But
we're recording this, by the way.
Yeah, we are recording this. So we're all listening in our sick and twisted mind. But in my defense, I was 23 years old. I wasn't the age I am now. I was 23 when that happened. So that's a long time ago.
But did you bang her? That's the most important question.
I did not. Matter of fact, after I went back in that Hoosier Mill the next week, I tried my best not to even look around because I didn't want to even make eye contact. I felt so bad. The crazy things you do when you're a dumb teenager, or I wasn't even a teenager. No. I was 23.
Old.
That was the old days.
But, by the way, you get my wife's input on everything tonight that's recorded because she's like,
"I'm still stupid."
Well, the
it works.
Well, the old saying, "Behind every good man is a good woman." So. She'll oversee everything.
Backwards. That's backwards. Behind every good woman is a good man. Yeah, you got to get behind the woman, dude. You're a man. She can't get behind me.
Okay.
I got nothing to offer back there. What, Mom Poot in her face? My God, this is recorded. I gotta chill out. My dog's here too, by the way.
See, I'm
what is going on.
I'm over here in my studio all alone, and Brad's got his whole family over there with him. He's got the wife, the dogs, beer.
Yeah, beer is definitely a fact. Yeah, so
he's got. I'm over here drinking soda and trying to stay sober. And Brad's over here having a party. See, when I grew up, I'm gonna be the same Brad.
I can't stay sober. I'm an alcoholic.
Okay, 1991.
Yep.
Focus.
Yeah. Okay. Jen's going to keep us in focus tonight. By the way, everybody that's listening, my wife's name is Jen. I can't say her last name because if y'all stalk her, then I'm going to be like all upset about it and everything. I wouldn't really give a shit, to be honest with you. But anyway, my wife's name is Jen. She's going to join us tonight and hopefully a bunch more nights as well. I like her input. She is a lot older than me, so her input is very important.
You mean a lot younger?
Right, yeah. That's the input I need right there. So, and she has some different ideas that we're going to try to explore. I'm running them by Tony at, like, last-minute times every time. But we're going to go there.
That's what makes it so good. So I guess the first subject I like to talk about in 1991 is music, because music was always the best, you know. But since we're talking worst, how about the top 10 worst songs of 1991? What is yours, Brad?
Oh, man. Now, okay, so if I look at it nowadays, as far as my genre that I as far as like rock, worst song would be Enter Sandman.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it came out a year earlier,
what was it you don't like about the song?
Too trendy. It's too trendy for me.
I think the opening's too long.
Yes. I've played it in multiple bands on stage, and it is a lengthy intro. However,
most Metallica songs are.
Yeah, it's missing something.
Yeah.
There's something about it that it doesn't have soul. There's no soul to it at all. It's literally just for fucking money.
And it's missing cowbell.
There's no cowbell. There is no cowbell in that damn song. What'd you find, babe?
I was just going to say 1991 was like a transitional year. And I feel like a lot of people from like Paula Abdul and R.E.M. and a bunch of different bands were trying to figure out how they were going to fit into this new. It was kind of the beginning of the grunge scene. And so there was like, how are we going to stay relevant? Kind of thing.
Yep.
And so you had a lot of people trying to change their style to fit into the new era of music. And so you had a lot of people selling out and trying to revamp who they were. And a lot of them failed. And then a lot of them took off and did well. But so you saw your 80s bands, your hardcore 80s bands that you were solid. Half of them made it, and half of them couldn't figure out how to revamp into the 90s, new age, grunge, funky.
You nailed it, girl!
Well, and not only that, but during that time, a lot of people started wearing flannel t-shirts. Because
not me. Not my fucking ass. I didn't wear flannel.
If
your underneath shirt was like a hard, quote unquote, hardcore Metallica Slayer. The
fuck, that ain't hardcore.
T-shirt, and then you had on a flannel over it with a pair of jeans.
No.
And a pair of docks.
Nope.
You were 90s. Mm-hmm.
No.
Like you suddenly made it into the 90s.
Nope. Not in my opinion.
I was in seventh grade.
Yeah.
For me, 91, I was still wearing my Holy jeans, a pair of you know, Nike.
Your church jeans. Church jeans.
Yeah. And then I was probably rocking a Motley Crue or Kiss or Poison t-shirt.
See, and in 91, okay.
Your favorite band t-shirt.
Yep. Yeah. Nope. But incidentally.
Together.
Nope. But you know, in 91, I had just transferred from one school to another. And the school I transferred to was a whole lot more country. There wasn't very many people like me there that was into Kiss, Poison, Motley Crue. At that new school I went to, you were either into Garth Brooks or nope. you were into Nirvana.
I'll take the latter. I'd rather throw up than listen to fucking Garth Brooks.
I will say, in 91, 90s country took off.
It did. It really did.
Yeah, for country people.
Big Hill came out. Garth Brooks came out. Mm-hmm. Like, all those big country people put out. And then, I mean, even, like, Lila McCann. All the
what small, the hell
all
is...
small people that who? Never really made it big. 90s country was the best country
hey,
that ever came out.
Do you know how Jen's but from it, Georgia? Because she just said some shit that nobody else knows.
Lila McCann?
Yeah. I would be exactly. I don't know who the hell that is.
Now I listen to some country, but I don't even know who that is.
See, old redneck ass.
Remember the song "Down Came a Blackbird"?
Nope.
No, Jen. Nobody knows that shit.
I don't know that song.
I hope that everybody on this podcast.
But now after the show, all the listeners, including myself, is going to Google that song and try to hear it and see if we remember.
I'm not. I don't want to hear it now.
Nope. You're still going to be listening to the Inner Sandman, trying to figure the hell out how to change.
I'm not going to listen to that horse shit.
In the 90s, there was so much change in music.
There was
huge variation.
The 90s went from, in country world, 90s went from Johnny Cash to Garth
Brooks.
I don't
like him either.
And rock music went from Kiss to Nirvana.
No, not Kiss. It went from more Metallica to Nirvana.
I mean, you went from loving singing your best Journey songs.
I don't have any of those.
Your head
I think Poison was probably, from what I remember, Poison was probably like the last hair metal band that was still
popular. Definitely wasn't Journey. Definitely wasn't
ballads.
Fucking Journey.
Poison had
like,
the best
nobody liked
ballads.
Journey back then.
Yeah.
No, seriously, in the late 80s, early 90s, Journey kind of lost their way as far as fans, unless they were true fans, only because nobody wanted to hear the whiny fucking horseshit music about love and things like that. Everybody was trying to be a headbanger. You know what I mean? Everybody was trying to be a headbanger.
91 is when that headbanger thing came out. Everybody wanted to be a headbanger.
Okay, when Slayer got their mainstream music in 88, that changed a lot because that opened up a door.
True.
Yeah. You know, and that when that door opened for Slayer, I mean it took everyone that was trying to be all this thrash metal and things like that, and death metal. Like
also,
everybody
Brad, going back to our childhood, the one person that I from our school that really made me figure out even first ever hearing the word Slayer was our friend Andy. You know, he's wearing Slayer.
Oh, Andy. Yeah.
And I'm like, who the fuck is Slayer? He's like, dude, what are you talking about, man? It's the greatest band in the world, you know?
Yeah, I remember Andy in seventh grade wearing a Slayer t-shirt.
Yeah.
Miss Joyner's class.
I had no idea.
And I hope Andy hears this because in Miss Joyner's class, I watched Andy stick a 25 cent piece of fucking iron or whatever it is.
Yep. Copper.
Up his nostril. I remember Andy. Like, he loves Slayer. And I won't say loved at all because I don't know him like
but
that.
He was a big fan.
Huge fan of Slayer. His little brother Daniel became even a bigger fan of Slayer.
Right. Yep.
You know, I mean, there were certain things that I mean, I'll be honest, I still listen to Slayer today. I haven't, not today. I haven't listened to Slayer today. But when I'm playing bass and things like that, you know, or guitar, I do enjoy trying to play Slayer. It's fun for me. It's a weird nostalgic thing for me. It's not a hateful, you know, whatever the hell people want to consider it, screaming music. It's just Slayer. It's just Tom Araya playing fucking bass and singing at the same time to me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, but you know I enjoy playing it. You know what song came out this year?
In 91?
Yep.
What?
I wanna set you up.
Fucking badass song. That's the best song in the whole wide world right there.
I remember it.
I can sing every word to that song.
Color Me Bad.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, my wife's uncle, we'll get over there at his fire pit, his house, and that song will come on, he'll say, Brad, sing it real quick. Okay. I know every word to this song. Don't get me wrong. I love, like...
You know what other song came out this year?
No.
Rush.
Oh, by Paula Abdul?
Yeah.
That shit's fucking badass. See, Jen knows my music language.
This is what I'm saying.
What about this one? Rico Suave.
Yeah. Rico Suave. I remember Rico Suave.
Yeah. That's another one.
Man, yes, I do remember Rico Suave.
What was that girl's name? Summertime came out.
Summertime by who? DJ Jazzy Jeff the Fresh Prince?
Yes.
Oh, everybody loves Summertime.
What about the first white artist to get a number one rap song? Vanilla Ice, play that fucking music, white boy.
Of course he did.
That's gross.
Bless his heart.
He tried. I mean, he tried. He's still got millions of dollars. I mean, I can't say those words.
Mark Wahlberg did Good Vibrations.
Good Vibrations. Yes. Not a big fan, but yes.
Color Me Bad, like, set off. Like that.
Oh, Color Me Bad was beyond phenomenal.
All for Love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Guns N' Roses set off Don't Cry.
The Don't Cry album was a flop to me.
Yeah.
I didn't like that one.
So it was a transition year. So you had a lot of old people.
Man, I didn't know Killing Me Back came out back then. I'm going to get a fucking flavor.
What about the
Primus.
Jerry was a race car driver.
Yep. And the album Sailing the Seas of Cheese. I'm not even looking on the internet. The album Sailing the Seas of Cheese came out back then.
Oh, yeah. Now, what about this? a very controversial song that came out in 91, I Touch Myself by the Divinyls. Remember that song?
I love that song.
Yeah, that's a beautiful song because it's not a dishonest song. It's not about some horseshit. It's about a woman enjoying her thoughts.
Self.
Yeah.
I try to be clear with that. You said self. I said thoughts. Yeah. Y'all leave it up to a woman to say the sexual thing.
I will say in the early 90s, finally women had I'm not getting political or sexual or whatever.
I hope not, because I'm going to push you off the bed, throw you on the floor.
Just saying, I think finally there were women that came out in music that were able to say whatever they want to say. I mean... Later in the 90s, it was better because you had Alanis Morissette and Melissa Etheridge.
Well, when are you going to name something better? You said we had better. Y'all, that ain't better.
No, I was saying there were women that they could say what they wanted to say before it was. Joan Jett just got to pick up a guy at the jukebox.
I don't give a shit what Joan Jett did. That woman was hot.
Girl,
hey, if I would have been that dude at that jukebox with Joan Jett, I'd been that man right there.
Yep.
I would have got my manhood. I don't give a damn if I was 8 years old. Bitch, pick me up.
I
feel good about it.
What I'm saying is the difference is Joan Jett was allowed to pick up a 17-year-old boy at the jukebox.
Yes, she was.
The girl from Divinyls was allowed to love and touch herself.
Good for them. Yeah. Hey, I'm all about Joan Jett picking up dudes and the vinyls touching themselves. Whatever. Y'all do what y'all got to do.
And another cool one from a North Carolina band, the song
Twat.
I just lost my eyes here on this one.
How'd you lose your eyes? They're right there.
Well, you know, the Love of a Lifetime by Firehouse.
Oh, Firehouse. Everybody knows Firehouse.
Good song.
Oh, yeah. That's a pretty song.
Yeah.
However, I'm listening to Gary. Fuck. It's on my smooth. Sorry. I have on my what is that called? Spotify. On my Spotify, mm-hmm. I have a smooth category.
Yep.
And it's got like everything Janet Jackson, Keith Sweat, so on and so forth.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Gary. Everybody mistakes him for Prince. I can't remember his name.
He sounds just like him.
But it's Pink Cadillac. Pearl Cadillac. Oh, excuse me.
Yeah,
Pearl
Cadillac. Yep.
That is the most beautiful song ever. Like, Prince, extremely talented man. Like, dude, I can't even. There's nothing that could ever compare to Prince.
Except for this guy.
No, because Prince played every instrument on every song on the first album, period. There was nobody else involved. It was just him in a studio by himself. So, yeah.
But
Gary,
I'm just gonna go look.
Well, I could just pull it up.
I'm gonna find his name now at this point. But
nobody cares.
But
yeah,
now another one of those cheesy love songs came out, and it was number one song that year. Everything I Do It For You. With Bryan Adams off of the Robin Hood.
That's right.
You can take my body, but you cannot have me.
Yeah.
I invited her.
Yeah. Good stuff. But you know, getting back to what we were talking about earlier in 91, it was a big change in that year. Everything was, you know, even though like 89 was still the 80s, you know, and then even 1990, a lot of stuff was kind of still the 80s. You know, yeah. a lot of stuff that was still popular in the 90s that was popular in the 80s. But like Jen said, when 91 came, it was like, turn the page, we're trying something different. And right. and it went, you know, a lot of, like if you go back and look at the top songs of 89, most of them were bands like Skid Row, Motley Crue, Poison, Kiss, Def Leppard, Bon Jovi.
Yep.
But by 90,
Bon Jovi out of it.
Those bands were gone. Really, if you look at that group that I just named, the only band that was still in the top 10 was Poison.
Yep.
Yes.
So I always say Poison was kind of like the last of the hair metal band.
Yes.
That survived.
Yes.
the turn of the new decades, but you know, going back to the music back then and MTV, even MTV was changing in 91 because they weren't playing as many music videos, and they started doing
game shows,
dumbass game shows, and
yep.
You know, whatever they had going on. I wasn't even watching MTV back then, But it's crazy how much things changed
MTV,
there in 91.
MTV sold lost out it. To the reality TV show things, so they started doing like more of that reality show stuff. They got out of the video market, which is weird.
Yeah, because that was kind of what made them popular.
Right.
Yeah, it's called music television.
So I was looking at, not changing the subject, but kind of changing the subject. Do you know what the number one movie was in 1991, Tony?
What? Wasn't Robin Hood?
Jungle Fever.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that movie. Yeah. Wow. That's crazy.
That was the number one movie in 1991. And if you look at, I would love to get other people's, like, input on all the movies, but there were tons of movies. I mean, Robin Hood was one of them, but there Backdraft. Do you remember Backdraft?
Yeah, I actually went to the movies and saw that.
That was a huge movie in 91. JFK came out in 91.
Mm-hmm.
We knew who he was.
The Doors movie.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that movie. That movie was really good, too.
That came out. My Girl. So I was in seventh grade.
My
so
Girl.
That was my speed.
My Girl was so sad.
My Girl. It was sad, but it was also like, it was like kind of that weird space of family meets reality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Movie.
And kind of where small children finally realize what death's all about.
Right. Right. Yeah. Like, you're going to have to meet this one day. Like, her dad was the funeral home operator. And
right.
Yeah.
You just meet tall people.
And then you had New Jack City.
Oh, that was a badass movie.
Was
I
that,
love that movie.
That year?
I love New Jack City.
Point Break.
Even better than that.
Now, Point Break.
Brody,
Point
like,
Break. Is,
nobody can be Brody. Nobody can be Brody but Patrick Swayze.
No.
Swayze.
Point Break was like a classic.
Patrick Swayze.
Oh, Point Break was badass. Because when I used to jump out of airplanes, I would always be like, yeah, I'm going to land in the ocean and be okay. But it's not true. That's a fucking lie. You hit the ocean, it's like concrete. It hurts.
Going to give a shout out to Georgia because Fried Green Tomatoes.
Which was filmed in...
filmed in Coweta, Georgia.
Okay.
Wait, was it Tifton?
No. I think it was filmed in Covington.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was because when we go down, my wife is a big fan of the Vampire Diaries, and it's filmed in Covington. And we go down there a lot, and there's a spot in Covington that you can go into, and they have all these little like signs of all the movies that was ever filmed there, and I seem like I remember seeing Frying Green Tomatoes.
Babe, where's the... No. There's a... You remember the train track scene? You may not remember the train track scene in Frying Green Tomatoes. Babe! He's not listening. So there's a place in South Georgia. It's Tift?
Okay.
I'm going to do... Let me do a quick research and I'll
tell
you.
What I'm doing right now.
There's a little store and is it Tifton, Georgia, or there's a little restaurant right by the train tracks where they
Conyers. Is it Conyers? Because I just looked it up and it says the so the Whistle Stop Cafe.
Yes.
Is located in Juliet, Georgia.
Juliet.
Mm-hmm. But the movie Fried Green Tomatoes was filmed in several different Georgia cities.
Yeah.
Newnan, Tenoya, Juliet, Fayetteville, Whitesburg, Conyers, and Zebulon.
Yeah, there's a little
Zebulon. That's how you say it.
Hey, we're in Georgia when we're going to Braden's and we go past that stop. Listen. What? Where there's that place where you do the cop community thing. Tifton. There's nothing in Tifton.
It's just a little town. Colors.
Okay.
There's nothing in Tifton for Fried Green Tomatoes? Because I feel like there's a little restaurant right down the train tracks, and they call it the Whistle Stop Cafe.
Whistle Stop Cafe, yeah. That's what I just read, yeah. Okay.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Another big movie that came out that year was Robin Hood, but the other one that blew everybody's mind was The Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, incidentally,
that
when
was
I
like
went
the
to...
the first Psycho film that ever was like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I went out to L.A. a few years ago, and they have a museum called the Museum of Hollywood. And down in the basement, they have a lot of the props from that movie, and they have the mask.
Oh.
And it's friggin' even...
The basket.
Yeah, even looking at that mask, even though I know it's a prop, it still gives me goosebumps.
It's creepy. Like, that was the first time that we met those, like, psycho thrillers.
Yeah.
Where, like, the movie messes with your mind more than...
More than the gore.
More than the gore and more than the, boo kind of, like, hey, kind of scary.
Yeah.
This was like mess with your head stuff.
Yeah, this is stuff when you're laying in bed at night and you're thinking, oh my God.
That could happen. That could happen in real life. Sleeping with the Enemy came out that year.
Sleeping with the Enemy? Oh, yeah.
It was like the year of those like psycho get your brain movies where you were like, this actually could happen in a real sick reality of life. That could happen.
Yeah.
If you met the wrong person on the wrong day, this could happen to me.
Yeah. And you know, those type of movies are the kind of the movies I'm more attracted to. You know, like I was saying earlier, my wife likes the Vampire Diaries. I can't get into it because I know that ain't going to ever happen.
Right.
But the movies that I know, oh, shit, that could happen.
Psycho thriller.
I'm going to be invested in stuff like that. I just can't get invested in somebody going around biting somebody and turning them into a zombie.
It's my new thing.
It don't work for me.
Brad's new thing. What else came out that year?
I'm sorry, Tony. I'm eating right now.
No, you're fine.
As a seventh grader, because I was a seventh grader in 1981, my favorite movie, Drop Dead Fred.
Oh, God.
Oh, Drop Dead Fred. I remember that movie. Yeah.
Wow.
I love that movie. He was every seventh grader's best imaginary friend.
Yeah.
Messing with their parents and stuff. You know what else came out that year, babe? Boys in the Hood.
That was a great movie.
Because you're blackish.
Yeah, that was a really good movie. Matter of fact, I remember when Boys in the Hood came out. A lot of movie theaters were having like fights and riots because the movie seemed so real and it was so close to reality of what was going on in Los Angeles at the time.
So 1991 was a transition year, like for everything. Like everybody was mad.
Yeah.
I wasn't angry about anything.
Everybody was mad or good or whatever, but there was like this transition. 91. So everybody thought. I guess you would think 90 would be the transitional year.
But 90 kind of stayed 80s.
The 90s kind of stayed 80s, and 91. I guess they spent the 90s. I think they spent the year of 90s, whether it was movies, music, books, whatever it was, spent the year of 1990. They saw it coming.
Yeah.
And they switched.
It was around the corner, but it wasn't quite there yet.
Warner Brothers did.
And the rest of us, were like, oh, okay. we have new things. It was new and shiny. Everything was new and shiny in 91. Yeah.
And speaking of big change, so from like the early late 70s to 91, you know, now I want to take a little turn off of movies and music and get into real life. But on June the 19th of 1991, Colombian drug lord Pablo Escobar finally surrenders to police, and from the 1980s all the way till 91, if you done cocaine, 9 times out of 10 the cocaine in the United States came from Pablo Escobar and his group. Later on. A movie would come out called Blow, which is my all-time favorite movie.
Oh, yeah. That's it, baby.
Love that movie.
Such a good movie.
But that movie is based off of a real-life guy, George Young.
Yeah.
And and Pablo, and it tells Pablo's story. So that right there was huge news. Seeing, because he not only was he a drug lord, but he was ruthless. He would kill people right in front of the police, and it was just, I mean, he was like the epitome of a gangster, a drug lord gangster. So seeing him finally jailed was pretty impressive news.
So I remember, and I was only 12, I think, in 91. And I remember for the first time ever in my life hearing one of my friends saying, my dad is deployed overseas because they were in the Gulf War. And I didn't know it. I didn't know anything about war. I was born in 79. Nothing was going on. I didn't. And one of my friends was like, my dad is gone for like 18 months, you know, a year and a half is what she said, to the Gulf War. And I didn't know what that was. Like, that didn't make any sense to me. What do you mean your dad is gone? Like, that was so weird. He's away. That was the first time in my lifetime that I had ever heard about somebody's parent being away in war. And
but you know, the other thing too, Jen, about that, because by 1991, everything had changed, but this was the first time that we could see in real time an actual war on TV.
We had the media.
We had all the reporters and with all their camera equipment over there, and not only that, but even the military too. We're like seeing real time of them, you know, blowing shit up.
Yeah, I remember.
We didn't really blow anything up.
I just remember my friend being terrified because her dad was gone in a war, and we were 12. We didn't know. I mean, what happened from
nothing
when we were born in 1979 to 1991? There was never anything major that blew off in the government that was publicized.
Right.
And so when this whole Gulf War thing happened, us as kids, it was almost like a Challenger moment.
Like, oh, I saw that happen.
Like, it felt the same for us as kids.
Yeah. And the interesting part of it was it actually had two key phrases. The first phase was Operation Desert Shield.
Yes.
Which marked the military buildup, and that started August of 1990, and carried out until 1991. And then on January 17th, 1991, it came to the close with the American-led liberation of Kuwait. And it ended on February the 28th, 1991. So, just a little less or a little bit more than a month it lasted, which is very interesting.
Fast forward 10 years, and we had Operation Fuck You.
Yeah.
I just think it was weird as a kid. Like, you go, you know, when you're 12 years old, and you think everything is. I think it's weird when you're a kid and you're 12 and you grow up thinking everything is safe and everything is fine and everything's good. Mm-hmm. And yeah, NASA had a mishap in 85, but that didn't have anything to do with our country's security.
Right.
Like, yeah. I wasn't not safe because NASA screwed up.
Right, yeah.
And I don't mean to say it lightly. I hate that happened. That was a terrible thing. And I was in school. I had the Roland TV like everybody else did when all that happened. But the first time that I felt insecure about my safety as a country was at 12 years old.
Right, yeah.
And I remember thinking, why is my best friend's dad leaving to make sure that I'm safe?
Right,
and I,
yeah.
Like, I made that connection because mm-hmm. at that time, Kuwait was the bad guy. And I don't know. I don't keep up with. I make a point not to follow all the things that are happening in the media because mm-hmm. you can make yourself crazy today.
Yeah.
With all the things that are happening. But I do remember back then thinking, this is the first time I ever felt like my friend's dad is going away to make sure that I'm safe, and I don't know why. Because we, at 12, you don't understand the logistics of
right, boy, yeah.
this and that, and there's contracts and treaties, and you don't know any of that. You just know your best friend's dad is over there getting shot at to make sure you're safe. That's all you know.
Right, yeah. Yeah, at 12 years old, all I want to do was play my Super Mario right. Brothers on Nintendo.
Yes. Duck Hunt.
Yeah.
I was master.
Yeah. Master. Duck Hunt and Super Mario Brothers. That's all you cared about.
Exactly.
Well actually, I think in 91.
You were a little less innocent.
Yeah.
It made
yeah.
you a little less innocent when you found out, like, you. My thoughts together. You might not just be able to sit in your living room if your right. friend's dad's not doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
It was a weird thought.
Yeah.
What? Shh. You just shushed me. People are hearing you. Yeah, everybody heard me? Heard Jen shush me just now.
What else happened?
Let's see. The other thing that happened in 91 was Pete Rose was barred from playing because of him betting on the games.
Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember that. Again, yeah. I was 12.
Pete Rose
was, I vaguely remember that being a big
yeah,
deal.
He was banned from baseball for being able to be put into the Hall of Fame because he was betting on games.
That'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like,
now, something else I just saw happen, which is pretty amazing. In 1991, March the 20th, as a matter of fact, Michael Jackson signs a $65 million deal with Sony Records to produce 6 albums.
What 6 albums did he produce? Did he make that?
No,
did
no,
he make that?
No, he signed a deal over the next over the next few years to put out 6 albums, and they would pay him $65 million to do that.
God.
And then Metallica on August the 12th, Metallica released their self-titled album Metallica, and it debuts at number 1, which was Brad's album with Enter Sandman.
There you go. Yeah.
So a lot of crazy things and a lot of changes happened in
91 was a very transitional year.
Yeah.
It was transitional in our music, it was transitional in our movies, like mm-hmm. I mean, if you go back to Jungle Fever, that was the first movie that ever really did that interracial thing. And
yeah,
it's okay, but it wasn't okay. Like, they really,
right,
like, kind of put a spotlight on that, which is funny because segregation has been gone for how many years by 91?
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first movie that ever made a point to say, and I think the 90s really tried to make a point of, we're going from being politically correct to where music and movies and and all the media, news, everything, we're like, we're just going to do what we're doing. And if you don't like it, you can have the day you deserve.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
I was going to look and see some of the top television shows of 1991.
I didn't even think about the shows.
Yeah, In the Heat of the Night, which was filmed down in Georgia.
Yep.
Filmed in Covington. 48 Hours, which was a news channel, or it was like a news.
Doc. I still watch that today.
So I love that.
Yeah, that was like the they covered, like, they picked a one story and made like a little documentary out of it in an hour.
yeah, and I used to love that.
It was so good. Yep, that's when it first came out, was in 91.
In 91 it was one of the most popular television shows.
Okay.
They were drawing 13.2 ratings every week.
That's when people started to care what the hell was going on.
Yeah. Yeah. another show that was similar to that, which I used to watch, but the guy's voice would give me the creeps, was Unsolved Mysteries.
I loved that show.
Yeah.
And it was creepy.
Yeah.
But now as an adult, I can go to sleep listening to that guy.
Yeah, but when I was that age, I couldn't. I was like, I can't listen. This guy.
Back then, it was creepy. It was like,
this guy's got me twisted up here.
People are going to steal your best friends, and you're never going to see them again.
Yeah, and you never see them again. Because, yeah.
Right.
You walk outside, and there's just like a hole in the ground. Like, where'd they go, you know?
Right.
And then another show that lasted a very long time. And 91, it was drawing a 17 rating, which was Full House.
Oh, I love Full House.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they did
reboot, Fuller House.
Yeah, House. It was terrible. Terrible.
Yeah, it wasn't good. An interesting story though behind that. When I was in California back in 2016, I'd done a tour of one of the movie. I don't remember who it was. Warner Brothers, Sony. I don't know, one of them. But it was Sony. And they were actually starting to film that then. The Fuller House. Yeah. And they drove us by the outside of the house with the red door. And we could see that, but they told us then that, hey, you know, they didn't tell us the name of it, but they said that the show Full House is getting a revamp, and they're starting production right now. So they drove us by the house, and we got to see the house. But you're right. It flopped because of a couple of things. Number one, the main character of Full House was always the little girl or the twins.
Yeah, Ashley and Mary Kate. Yeah.
Yeah. But when they did the revamp, they refused to come back. So as a Full House fan, the fans felt left down because the star wasn't there.
Well, there was that, and there was the whole Bob Saget scandal.
Right, yeah.
That happened right before then.
Yep. Yeah,
right,
that
came out.
Yep, that too. So
I will tell you though, as a kid, I was watching Full House, and I have daughters that are now watching Fuller House.
Mm-hmm.
They love it. They love it because they didn't know.
They don't know the backstory.
The backstory.
Yeah.
So there is kind of a cool connection that. Mm-hmm. My daughters are watching a show that I thought was cool.
Right.
And now they're like, this show is so cool. And I'm like, it was so much cooler.
Yeah.
So much cooler.
Much better way back.
way back. But yeah. It's the same thing as, like, you know, you're driving down the road and a song comes on and your kid knows it because it's on TikTok.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Now,
I'm like, how do you know that song? And they're like, it was on TikTok show.
Yeah. Now that's a thing, because a lot of these old songs are getting revamped because of TikTok.
Thank God for TikTok.
I mean, because I remember just, you know, a couple of years ago, I guess it was in 2020, when I first got on TikTok. But, like, one of the most popular songs was Going to Make You Sweat Now, where they would dance, you know, and come. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that song was popular way back when.
Cause TikTok,
I remember my daughter was real big on TikTok back then. And I was like, that song's old. That song was popular when I was in high school, you know. And she's like, what? You know, she had no idea, but yeah. And then of course, probably one of the longest running television shows, was 60 Minutes. Now, I never really watched 60 Minutes because it was more of a news show.
Yeah, hardcore news.
But it was drawing a bunch of watchers because it was drawing a 21.9 rating, which is
I think it's really good. To multitude of generations. So you had like the adults. So at the time I was 12. Mm-hmm. But you had the 20 somethings, the 30 somethings, and the 40 somethings that were trying to figure out media was getting into reporting things that they didn't usually report and all that kind of thing. And I think it stirred up some stuff. They wanted to know things. They wanted more information. Yeah. And that was when, in my opinion, media kind of started overstepping their bounds. We don't need to know all the things.
Right, yeah.
Like, yeah. We don't need to know all the things.
But we don't want to know it all.
When 60 Minutes started. That was more of like the harsh news. Like the 48 hour or the, I think it was 48 or whatever you said earlier. That was more like the lighter. I mean, somebody got kidnapped. Oh, no.
Yeah. Or somebody was shot. We got to find out who shot these people in the next 48 hours. Kind of deal. Yeah.
60 Minutes was like that hardcore. We're having an.
They're pulling all the layers back.
Yes. And I think that's when. I will say again, 91 was that weird year where people were trying to find out more information,
mm-hmm.
and they were trying to gather it from the media. And I don't necessarily think that was a good place to get it.
No.
You have to get it from a reliable source. And we thought at the time that media was neutral, and it's not.
Yeah, it was later in the 90s when you realized that the media, a lot of the media, not all, but a lot of the media were planning stories.
Yes.
Stories that you know, that really wasn't happening. Now called
fake news.
Fake news, yeah. But back then they were planting it. And and it was crazy. And I'm sure in the 90s it was tough. Even more tough being a celebrity because now more camera people out, more, you know, you know.
The technology changed. You had better cameras. You had better reporters. They started hiring like investigative reporters. That's when the whole thing started happening. So you had more people digging. It just got weird. It was a weird transitional year. And everybody was worried about the year 2000.
Mm-hmm.
But really, 1990 was the shift.
Yeah.
And 91 showed it.
Yeah, it was. And you know, talking about the paparazzi, I actually witnessed paparazzi one time when I was out in L.A., my daughter and I were in West Hollywood eating at a restaurant. It was about 6 o'clock at night. This was in the springtime, and I looked out the window and I saw like all these people with cameras. I'm like, somebody famous must be out there. So I told my daughter, I said, let's pay for our food and go out there and see what's going on. So we finished eating, paid for food, and went out there. And by the time we got out there, there was probably 60 to 80 photographers, just like all around this Mercedes. Right. And I'm like, what in the hell? Who is that? You know? And then the car drives away. And so I'm asking people, hey, what just happened? And they're like, is it Khloe Kardashian?
Yeah.
So on that road, on that street that we were on eating, which is Sunset Boulevard, and a lot of people know it as a Sunset Strip, but the Kardashians had a store on that road, which and when you're on Sunset, for listeners at home who's never been to California, when you're on Sunset Boulevard, it actually takes you into Beverly Hills, so it's kind of a quick route, which really blew my mind, because you know, being that before I went to California, I didn't realize everything was so close. So I'm thinking LA's here, Hollywood's there, Beverly Hills is here, but literally they're all like boom, 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 boom. They're real close together.
Right.
And so that's what was happening. The Kardashians had came to their little shop they had there on Sunset Boulevard, and then they were leaving, and paparazzi called them coming out, and it was just like traffic was stopped. The cops were there. It was like insane. It was really crazy.
Do you ever think about, and this is just, I'm just throwing this out here. Do you ever think about when was it that we as a civilian culture started to look at media as our source? Not a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I feel like there was a time, and it may have been around the time that we're talking about, mid-80s to mid-90s.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it
started getting twisted into this cult.
Yeah, 80s, I think. I would say the 80s. Cult
classic movies, so I guess maybe the mm-hmm. 80s were that cult.
Yeah.
Mentality, but like, what happened where our media went from reporting real life
mm-hmm.
to reporting what was popular.
Right, yeah.
And when did that happen?
Well, I'd say it started in the 80s a little bit, but I think after 2020 is when it got worse. Only because I feel like, you know, back...
Because we were stuck in our houses with COVID and we got bored.
But I think the invention of the smartphone and selfies and TikTok and all this what they call it content creations.
Yes.
You know you
everybody's an expert.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody's an expert, and used to, if you watched the show, it was a legit show. It was something about, you know, a baking show. But now you can go on social media outlets like TikTok and things like that, and people are doing these content creations, and it's creations on everything about how a person's accent, a vacation spot, a car. I mean, there's so many things. Yeah. And see, and I think getting back to talking about paparazzi, at some point, we're all paparazzi now, because you think about it. If right now, me and you and Brad were sitting at a restaurant having dinner and some movie star came in, we may not do it, but I bet you 80% at least of the people in that restaurant would drop their forks, pick up their cell phones, and go over and try to take a selfie with this, you know, famous celebrity.
Oh, for sure.
Whereas in the 80s, the only people that done that was a paparazzi that had cameras.
Right.
Because back then, we didn't have cameras
in our hands. Yeah. I feel like there is a lost art in family dinners. And,
oh, most definitely.
And, I don't care if I sound too traditional, but I think there is something about, there should be roles in the household. And it doesn't matter your gender or who's making mm-hmm. money and who's not, but there has to be like a system.
Right. Yeah.
And I think what happened is the system got lost. And I don't care who's making the system. The TV, the mm-hmm. phones, the just everything is so plentiful.
Yeah.
That we've lost the sense of, how about you go when your kids get home, if you can. I know everybody works, because the cost of living right now is out the damn roof.
Oh yeah, it's insane.
But if you have the opportunity when you get home or when your kids get home, no matter what their age is, hug them and remind them that you love them.
Right, yeah.
Have a dinner with them. Have a, if you can. It doesn't always work out because mm-hmm. your kids have soccer or theater or baseball or all the extra things. But on those moments that you can catch it,
mm-hmm.
like, take the time to just,
yeah.
Hey, I see you, I hear you, I love you. Just have a moment.
Yeah, you know, one of the things
that's what, over everything else, I don't care if it's from the 80s to the now, that is the biggest thing that has got lost, is family.
Yeah.
The only thing that matters in this life and the only people that are going to take care of you are the people that love you. So, and it may not be your blood.
No, may not be, but still, it's your family.
Your family are the people that are going to take care of you.
One of the early things my dad taught me as a young man growing up, it actually three things. So, for first of all, he was very adamant on letting your family know you love them. You know, don't leave the house without saying bye, I love you. Don't yeah. hang up the phone unless you say I love you. So going to, as far as my life, that's me all the time. Like I never leave my house without telling my family I love them, because you never know. It might be the last time you see them, whatever. Same thing on the phone. I always say, okay, I got to go, but I love you. Talk to you later. Hang up. But he always said, always do that. And never go to bed mad at your spouse or your children. You know, people within your home. Or anybody in general, really. He was very adamant about not going to bed angry. He said, because if you go to bed angry, you can't get a good night's rest. You're not going to be focused the next day when you wake up, because you're still feeling angry from the night before.
Yep.
And so those two things my dad always taught me, and to this day I'm still that same way. Now my wife, we joked about it earlier about her being from Boston, but there's a lot of times where she can get mad and go to bed and shut the door and don't come back in there. But it's not good or, I mean, it's not right or wrong. It's just how you're raised.
It's okay to, here's the thing. If your situation, what you're talking about at bedtime is going to escalate it and not fix it, it's okay to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the morning, let's have a cup of coffee and talk about it. But there has to be an end time. There has to be a time that you say,
there has to be a period.
I'm not going to talk about it right now. And unfortunately, it's at bedtime.
Mm-hmm. But right.
We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's okay. But you have to.
Yeah, that's okay. But don't go to bed slamming the door and be like, you know, up yours. Don't talk to me. I hate you. I wish I never met you. You know, some of the things that we say when we're angry that we don't really mean. We're just mad. Yeah. We're mad and we're trying to make that person feel our anger or hurt. So we say crazy things like that.
I think there are a lot of things that in, I would even say our generation. How old are you?
I'll be the big 5-0 in a couple of weeks.
All right. Woohoo.
Yeah. Party time.
So I just turned 45 in January. So I'm a little bit younger, but I think we come from the same cloth.
Yeah.
People.
Yeah.
And I feel like there is a loss in, and again, it's access to media. It's, well, TikTok said, or I read an article on Facebook, or I did a thing on whatever. And so, you know, you can take like personality tests on Tuesday from Instagram, whatever. And so I think there's a different generation of storytelling in social media.
Yeah, so, I agree with you 100%.
So we have, I think for us, even my generation, I think my sister is 6 years younger than me, and she's probably the last generation of that. But you have those, don't go to bed mad, don't, you know, you have those, I don't know what to call them, like antics, old wives' tales, all the things. You have all those things they grew up in, but I think in the late 80s, early 90s, and the difference in the media coverage started changing that. What is Johnny Depp doing? What is Jennifer Aniston doing? What is, nobody cared in 82.
No.
Jennifer Aniston thought my life should look like.
Yeah. And I'll tell you something else too that has changed that I've learned. Some of the listeners at home may know this, may not know this, but I've been in pro wrestling since 1993. And in the 80s and the 90s, as a wrestling fan, you watched it every week, and your fingers were crossed that your hero was going to win. But you lived in the moment, and you watched it, and you appreciated it. Also, you watched your favorite television show, and you watched it, and you enjoyed it, and that's as far as it went. But now, we have these what I call keypad warriors, where they will watch a show, watch a wrestling event, watch whatever, and then they go on their TikToks and their Instagrams and their Facebooks and all this other stuff, and they try to critique and say how they would do it differently, and they bitch and they moan, versus living in the moment and appreciating what the writers are giving them. They're not happy.
Quarterbacks.
Yeah, they're not happy, so they're trying to rewrite it, and they just... And they're miserable, and they make everybody around them miserable because they're trying. And I think that has a lot to do with social media too, because, you know,
misery loves company.
Yeah, misery loves company. And, you know, nowadays a person is quicker to stand behind their keyboard and post a bunch of stuff that they would say to somebody, but I bet you 9 times out of 10 the stuff they post they wouldn't say to anybody face to face.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
So I think that's another big thing too.
For sure.
So now, did we lose Brad? I haven't heard from him in a little bit.
I don't even know where he's at.
He went AWOL on the podcast. That's okay. That's all right. No worries there. But yeah, I mean. But I go back to what you said earlier. 91 was definitely the year of transition, the year of change.
The pivotal change is pivotal change in music and movies and media in general. Like like we were talking about, the paparazzi got different, technology got different. It was a weird year, good and bad. Like good, we had some good things that happened in 91, and then we also like had that weird thing in media where, what do we do with all, we had too much information. There is a such thing as having too much information.
Yeah. An overload.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That happened a lot too, I think. But I think that, you know, next week, I'm sure we'll venture out to 1992, and I think in 92 we're going to also still see that we're still transitioning, and there's still things happening in the world and around us that is a it's different, some bad, some not so bad, but I think 92 is going to be somewhat even more change compared to what we're talking about in 91.
So I'm
looking forward to that. Positive and negative. What's that?
Positive and negative.
Yeah. You know, not to jump the gun, but, you know, 92 saw the riots of L.A., and it lasted for quite some time.
Yeah, for sure.
It was an
interesting year.
And I remember when Brad and I were in school and that was going on, we used to have this thing, and I don't know if you had this when you were in middle school, but I know we had it in high school. But every morning for like the first 15 minutes of the day, we had to watch this television, and it was a show called Channel One. And basically it was just like a recap of what was happening in the world. It was like a newscast told by high school students, but it was like all the current events that was happening. And so I remember watching that every morning for the first 15 minutes of school. Channel One updates, here we are, you know, whatever. And I remember sitting in class with Brad and watching basically L.A. burning, because there were so many, you know, so many rioters in the streets. And one of the first things I remember from that really blew me away was watching these guys pull an innocent man who just driving through an intersection, but pulled him out of his semi truck and beat him almost half to death. And, you know, it was just a sad time. So, but like I said, I know we'll probably get into that more next week, but there again.
So on my side, as a middle schooler in Georgia, we said the pledge. We were still praying in school, so we said the pledge. We said the prayer, and we went to school. They did not let us know what was going on in the world.
Yeah, you learned. Yeah, you were there to learn. Where they were teaching us what was going on around us versus what we really needed to know.
I don't think that's bad. I think
no, it's not bad, but
I think there's a happy medium.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's a happy medium, Matt. I think every person, and I'll go ahead and be a hypocrite, but I think every person every morning when they wake up should say a prayer.
Oh yeah.
Say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Mm-hmm.
If you live in America, that I've lost that.
So,
I think that they taught us that when we were really young. And then there was that whole church and state thing that they took seriously in the late 90s. So you couldn't do that anymore.
Yeah. Right? Well, you know, now, you know, I don't know if you know this, but I actually work in a middle school now. And so in the morning, first thing our principal does our morning announcements, and then he does the Pledge of Allegiance. And so what he does, since you can't pray in school, he does a moment of silence after the Pledge of Allegiance. So at that point, you know, he'll say, okay, now after Pledge of Allegiance, he'll say, okay, we'll take a moment of silence. And I see a lot of kids praying during that time.
That was my question. Do they know that that's a time of prayer? Because can't say that. And that's
right,
not
right. Fault. Yeah, yeah. You can't say, okay, you can pray a little bit now. But they do it like a moment of silence in respect to the fallen soldiers or whatever. He doesn't say that, but it gives you the opinion of you have a moment of silence to reflect on
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool that you see the students that have good parents that say, hey, when you have a moment of silence at school, that's your time with God.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's your time to reflect on that people have that have served the country or whatever it is that you believe.
Yeah.
That minute of silence or 2 minutes of silence is your time to pray, think,
mm-hmm.
reflect, whatever it is. If you have good parents, that's good. If you don't have good parents, you're bored.
Yeah, you're bored, or you make bad choices, or you don't. You're not respectful to your adult.
Right.
You know. Speaking of good parenting, you know, I had one of all the students that I deal with on a daily basis, which is about 32 students. When my mother passed away back in December, of the 32 students, only one student came up to me and said, "Mr. Tony, I am so sorry about the loss of your mother. Your family's in my thoughts and prayers. If you need anything, you let me know." Now, this is a, you know, these are middle school kids, but this little girl was a seventh grader, so she's like 11 years old. So that tells me that, you know, it's not because she's a young kid, but it tells me that her parents have raised her and taught her morals.
Oh, absolutely.
Where the other parents are just teaching their kids, "Hey, you're playing a video game, whatever, you know, going about your day.
Get out of my way.
Yeah.
So that
meant a lot.
Oh, that'll be a whole another podcast. You want to talk about a parental podcast?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You let the social media raise your kids. Mm-hmm. Good luck.
A lot of parents do. A lot of parents do that today.
Yeah.
What I do, I have a 9-year-old. So what we usually do is we give him an hour time on his electronics. And when an hour's up, it's up. You know, it's time to put it away. And we try to stick to it. Now, occasionally I'll bend the rules. Like if it's if we're going on a trip, you know, I'll let him watch.
You're gonna be in the car for 5 hours.
Yeah. Here's your iPad. Have fun. But like if we're sitting at home, you got 1 hour, buddy. When your hour's up, you got to put the iPad up. And I might let you have it back later on today, but not right now. Just because I don't want him to be like those kids that I see out a lot that are just glued to their electronics. And and I'm guilty of it too. I mean, I'm guilty. I'm always pulling out my phone. I'm looking at something or putting in music. I mean, I do the same thing,
doing a podcast, whatever.
But I'm just trying my best not to let my son be one of those kids that's like always stuck on electronics.
For sure. I think it's really hard as a parent these days to not. Technology is a part of their world. It's who they are. It's what they're gonna be, and it's only gonna get worse.
Yeah.
With the AIs and the
things. Speaking of, have you seen the new Apple invention, the Apple Vision?
What?
So Apple came out with something a couple days ago. They're like sunglasses. You put them on your head, and everything around you is like virtual. So you can take your hands, and you can see the screen of your phone on these glasses, and you can like assign different parts of your room. So like you can say, okay, look over this way to the left, and now on that side you can control Facebook and Twitter and all that, and then. You can, yeah, this thing is pretty. It's pretty intense.
My pay grade.
It's only like $4,000. It was $4,000 for this thing, but
it's above my pay grade for sure.
But yeah, nothing I would want. But it's an AI, and then I saw, I haven't delved into it too much because I know A, I'm never going to buy it because it's too expensive, and number two, I don't think I need it. But I did watch one video today earlier, and like you can program this thing to do like your FaceTime videos, and if you do it a certain way, set up a certain way, it makes it look like those people that you're FaceTiming are actually in the same room as you, and it's like a three-dimensional photo. And what? if you put your head down, and I'm FaceTiming you, and you got one of these things, then you actually see the top of my head, and not like, which is it's so weird, so weird.
I don't like it.
No, it's definitely not for me.
I know that my parents in 1990 whatever, whenever they started getting their pagers.
Yeah.
Our parents,
like 95.
Yeah, our parents didn't like that.
Yeah.
Like, our parents didn't like that we didn't have to listen to the radio for news. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to. So I feel like I'm probably where my mom was at one point in my life when I went from my car phone, you know, the back phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like they felt how I feel now, where like technology is above my pay grade. Like I don't get it, but my kids get it. And that makes them have an upper hand on me somehow. Yeah. And I don't like that. I don't ever like when my kids have an upper hand.
Right.
Somehow on me. So I try to stay, you know, I've got the Life 360 because I have teenagers. I have drivers.
Right. Me too.
So I'm like, you know, I try to stay abroad. But they can also leave their phone. So if let's say my teenage daughter's at school, because I'm not dumb.
Yeah.
I did this dumb shit.
Right, yeah. That's what I tell my kids too. The things you think you've done, I've already done. So don't try to fool me.
I know there are times that my daughter will leave her phone at school and leave campus, but her phone is still at campus.
Right.
My Life 360 is no longer going to tell me where she actually is.
Right, yeah.
Like, I'm not dumb. I know. But it's a weird feeling of technology. And I think, again, not trying to bring it back, but to bring it back, the 90s is when, like, we went from the bag phones to the little flippy Nokia phone, the big ones. The big ones. The big phone. They were like, whop.
Yeah.
Yeah, the giant phones from the little bag phones in our car. We went to little phones, and I'm sure our parents were freaking the hell out.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Like,
freaking out. Because now we had, you know, space. Before, we had to call them from the office at the school. They knew where we were.
Now we're like, okay, call us when you get to Joe's house or McDonald's or wherever they're going. You know,
well, now they're like, I can see where you're going. Yeah. I know where you're at. Where you at?
In the old days, you call the parents' house. Hey, is Joe there? No, he's out riding bikes with the neighborhood kids. Okay, thank you. Now it's like they're taking selfies. Yeah.
Now if you call your friend's friend or your daughter, your kid's friend, whatever, and you're like, hey, is so-and-so there? And they're like, no, you're calling America's Most Wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't find them on the phone. I can't find them on the Life 360. I can't find them on the thing. Like, technology is a love-hate thing.
It really is. That's the best way to describe it. It's like one of those things you can't live with and you can't live without.
For sure.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's only going to get better / worse.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I guess as we get ready to wind down the show this week, we've definitely touched on some great topics as far as the transition period, movies, current events. I'm looking forward to next week's show being able to talk about 1992 and some of the newer things that were coming out during that time as well.
Do you have like a website or something where people can like, for 1992, this is where I was, like, where they can comment? Yeah.
Not yet, but I am working on making a Facebook page for the show. And I should have that up and running, you know, by this weekend.
I think that would be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Multi-generational people. Like, yeah. Again, like tonight I was in seventh grade when mm-hmm. all this was right. going on. So my information is minute, but, again, impactful. Like it was the first war mm-hmm. ever, you know,
right. kind of thing.
But I think it'd be cool to get other people's multi-generational people to comment.
If yeah.
else, and we can.
And the other thing is I want to get that set up so that when we're talking about years, I can post pictures and then people can relate to that picture as far as especially the younger kids that may not know some things that happened in 1992. And I can post a picture of the, you know, 1992 gas prices was blah 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 or whatever, and
right.
and
yeah.
I can I started actually putting the page together, then my mom passed away and then I never did go back and finish it. I didn't think anything else about it, but my goal was to get it finalized and finished up this weekend so that I can start posting more stuff about our podcast on there.
You were out where you're supposed to be at the topper.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're right where you need to be.
Yeah.
We'll figure out the podcast later.
That's right. I sure will. I sure will. Well, tell Brad I said hello or goodbye or whatever, and I'll see him next week. And it was nice talking with you.
You also. We'll do it again.
All right. We'll see you later.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.